This is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. Praise and glory to God. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Soon afterward, Mary got ready and hurried off to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby moved within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me that my Lord's mother comes to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true." Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God, my Savior, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honor him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever." Mary stayed about 3 months with Elizabeth and then went back home. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
Alrighty, do you want to take a moment just to share with the person sitting next to you something that stood out from the passage?
Hello, hello. How's everybody doing? We all good? Has anybody got their Christmas tree up yet? Yes, yes, few people. We have tagged our Christmas tree. Is it out at Windermere's that we're... and we're picking it up Thursday, decorating Saturday. I'm very excited. I love Christmas. I'm one of those people who actually secretly inside gets excited when shops start playing Christmas carols in October. I know. I moan about it, but inside I think it's awesome. And a shout out to Victoria and Hayden Brown, who have been my allies playing Christmas carols in the background since early November while cooking dinner. So great, so great. Anyway, I loved Christmas as a kid. Mum and Dad always made it very special, and I have great memories of it. And I always knew that Christmas was a Christian thing. I knew that it was Jesus's birth. It was celebrating Jesus's birth. I could tell you who all the characters were in a picture of the nativity scene. We always went to church. But as I have become an adult, I can remember profound moments, particularly at midnight services, when singing carols. And the words that I'm singing, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of what actually happened when Jesus was born as a baby, has like gone at deeper levels every Christmas. Now, we have got such a range of Christmas carols out there, haven't we? And then we've got very profound, beautiful, ancient carols. So we've got ridiculous ones like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I mean, what even is that? This is ridiculous. Or I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus. Or Santa Baby, hurry down the chimney tonight. Have you ever listened to all the lyrics of that song? It's like, what is going on? And then there's the sweet carols that have got just ridiculous lines in them. The kettle wallowing, the baby awakes, and little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Of course Jesus would have been crying. He was a newborn baby. Why do we sing that? It's like those pictures of Jesus that we have of like perfectly straight hair, white as skin, like the serene, and then like this image painted of the manger. In the stable, it would have been dirty, it would have been loud, it would have been smelly. Jesus as a baby would have cried. And then there's the culturally irrelevant songs. You know, the other day in Countdown, I'm walking around and I hear it going on, the weather outside is frightful, the fire is so delightful, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Or I remember as a kid the Tony's Tire Service ad, walking in a winter wonderland. It's like fake snow. I'm like, why do we do this? It's so random. But then there's the deeply profound carols. Chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. That is what Christmas is about. That is what Christmas is about. Jesus came as a baby, as a helpless babe. God became a helpless child that pooed and weed and cried to turn the world upside down, to turn the Roman Empire upside down. So this brief moment I have with you, I want to remind us afresh of the wonder of Christmas. And I'm going to stop at 4 points in our narrative that Karen so wonderfully read for us, and just draw our attention to what is going on here. Okay, we up for that? All right. So the first moment that I want us to look at is where Gabriel appears before Mary. And I want to draw your attention to this moment because it reveals to us the very true nature of God and the nature of Christmas right in that encounter with Mary. Because as Tobia kind of drew reference to last week, she was also speaking from Luke. Luke is one of the gospels that is basically the gospel of social justice, where it shows that Jesus has got a bias for the poor and the marginalized and the outcast, and that he came for them. He came for all of us, but he's like, these people are important. Wake up. Yeah? And so in Luke, we have got Jesus having a focus of compassion for the outcast. He features marginalized people over and over and over again. He elevates women, which in that cultural setting, women were the inferior gender. And he tells lots of stories about women. And from the perspective of women, he's trying to say something here. And as Sarah Harris pointed out last week when Tabs was talking about Elizabeth, she shouted out, and Jesus uses menopausal women. You know, there is nobody that Jesus can't work through. And so the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and he says to her, in the sixth, it says here, so God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, it's just these few words, greetings, favoured woman. Woman. Another translation that we often hear is, greetings, for you are blessed among women. Now, do we remember who Mary was? She was a nobody in a little village in Galilee. She would have been 12, 13, 14. She was not married. She did not have a child, which means that in that culture, in that context, she was a nobody. Seen, not heard. Yeah? And yet Gabriel, and I love this image, Gabriel has just been up in the splendor of heaven, in the presence of the glory of God, and then in a moment, he's before Mary. He's just left the splendor of heaven and is standing before Mary, this nobody, and says, "Greetings. Blessed are you among women. The Lord is with you." That is deeply profound. That is deeply profound. He calls Mary blessed and favored. Now, this sermon series that we are in is called Love Came Down. Jesus was about to be born onto the earth to show the world what love really looks like, to turn our understanding of what love is and looks like completely upside down. And he models this to us right from the off by choosing to do this through a 14-year-old teenage girl, nobody. Okay? So that's the first point, that understanding the context at that time helps us see the true nature of God's love. The second point I want to draw us to is that Gabriel goes on to say, we see that confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And then Mary's response is this. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." She doesn't say, "This can't happen. I'm a virgin." She says, "But how can this happen?" And it's interesting, the placement of this story comes after the story that Tobias shared about last week, where we see Angel Gabriel appear to Zechariah, who is a priest. He is a teacher of the law. He is a righteous and holy man. And Angel Gabriel appears to him. And he says, "This, how can this be? How do I know this is going to happen?" And what happens? He's muted until after the birth of his son. There's this doubt. There's like, can this actually happen? This priest in the priestly line. He spends a week in the temple offering the sacrifices. He's well acquainted with religious ways. And yet the angel appears to him and he's like, not sure about this. Whereas little 12-year-old, 13-year-old Mary is standing there and is told that she is going to bear the Son of God Almighty. And she's like, okay, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And then there's a little bit more that says that's communicated. And then in verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. What is Jesus? What is Mary's response to God's love? It's yes. Here I am. No matter what this is going to mean for me, I say yes because you are good. And I just want us to think, what is our response to God's love, to his call on our life? The third moment in this narrative that I want to draw our attention to, and this is one of my favourite bits in this narrative, and it's Elizabeth's response to Mary. So just imagine for me, if you will, little Mary here, little teenage girl, has just encountered this incredible holy moment with the angel Gabriel and says, okay, yep, I'm up for this. And then a few days later, it says she gaps it to the hill countryside to go see who? Her cousin Elizabeth. Now, just remind you, Elizabeth is the wife of Zechariah. She's old in age. She is postmenopausal. She's probably considered a little bit looked at sometimes because she's never born a child. And Elizabeth has grieved that. Elizabeth and Zechariah have grieved this because having a child is such an important thing to happen to continue your family line in that culture. It's so important. And yet she's just been promised that she's now going to have a child, even though let's just say she's in her 80s. And her little cousin here, little 12-year-old Mary, comes dashing to the hillside and enters her house. And my thought would have been that Elizabeth's response to Mary in discovering that she's pregnant at such a young age, she didn't get to have this, that there might be a little bit of passive-aggressive. Yes, Mary, you can come in for a cup of tea, but, oh, you're pregnant, are you? God's come and met with you too, has he? That's not what happens, is it? Just want to read to you Elizabeth's response, which gets me every time. So a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, even myself. And your child is blessed. Why am I so honored?" This is Mary here saying to her little cousin, "Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Isn't that beautiful? And there's a teaching moment here for us, that we're not going to see God moving if we are self-obsessed. A lot of us spend time in comparison and jealousy and saying, they've got this, I don't have this, I'm not good enough, how come God works in them like that? He doesn't seem to work in me. When we cultivate those thoughts in our mind becomes foggy and fugged to be able to see God's work at hand and in the lives of other people. Do you see what I'm saying? We mute it out. We get self-obsessed. Oh, woe is me. How come that good thing has happened for that person and not for me? And the more we go into ourselves, the more we just don't even see God's work at hand. God's commandment is that we love God and love others. Elizabeth rejoices with Mary. And the thing that I love about this is, you know what happens after this encounter? We get the Magnificat. We get Mary's song. And it's as if Elizabeth's joy and excitement for Mary draws out the song of praise from Mary. It could have gone we don't know what Mary was thinking when she got to Elizabeth. She could have been like, really like, how do I even share this news with Elizabeth? I'm freaking out. I haven't told Joseph yet. What am I going to do? But Elizabeth rejoices with her and says, no, this is good. You are highly favored. God is doing good things. God is blessing you. I'm going to stand with you and journey with you. And outpours the song of praise from Mary. Yeah? So let's rejoice with each other and take the time. And this is something we do as humans. I do it all the time. You're sitting and talking with someone and they start sharing something exciting about that's happened to them. And then you put yourself into that story and think of something like, and then make it about ourselves, don't we? Yeah? Let's rejoice and actually listen and see what God is doing in one another's lives. So that's my third point. So that's Elizabeth's response. Now I just want to spend a bit of time with Mary's song, which is such profound, beautiful words. I'm just going to read them out. So Elizabeth has said, "You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." And then Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. Now, the thing that I love about Mary's song is that, yes, she rejoices in the way that God is using her. And she is rejoicing in the fact that she is blessed. But about halfway through the song, she lifts her gaze and proclaims what the implications of what is about to happen is going to have for the universe, for the whole world, for all of humankind. That this amazing moment that is about to happen in history is going to bring hope for the whole world. She points people back to God and she affirms his faithfulness. She sings a song about how this reversal of her own social status points to a greater upheaval to come. Through her son, God is going to bring down rulers from their thrones and exalt the poor and humble. He's going to turn the whole world order upside down. Jesus is born into humble conditions and a family with low social status, which foreshadows the upside down nature of Jesus' kingdom. So in this moment on our second Sunday of Advent, I want us to ponder anew what the Almighty has done and is continuing to do. And if you can, take your mind to the nativity scene. It wasn't beautiful, soft straw and idyllic music in the background and a silent child. There was beauty in the moment. But he was born into dirt and into poverty. And God chose to enter the world that way. He could have done it any way he liked. That's the way he chooses. Isn't that amazing? And that's the meaning of Christmas. And I want us to ponder in this moment, what does this mean? What are the implications of this for my life? Just invite you to hold your palms out and to receive this love that has come down and is with us. And I want you to ask silently in your heart, Jesus, what does the implications of this mean for me today as I serve you? What might be the thing that Jesus is calling you to or has been calling you to, but you've been too afraid to say yes? What are the nudges that you may have been ignoring? What are the new truths about Christmas that you're just realizing in this moment? And then, like Mary, we lift our gaze to what the implications of the meaning of Christmas has for our globe on this day, where there is such destruction and such trauma and such poverty. We lift our gaze and we declare these truths again. That chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother and our sister. And in his name, all oppression will cease. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And I just wonder now if we could speak out the names of places in our world where there is such pain and turmoil. And let's lift those to God now. The Middle East.
Tangata. Tonga.
South Africa. North and South Korea. New Zealand, Indonesia, Cambodia, and as our Saviour teaches us, we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.